For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. As we considered last week on this broadcast, the importance of water is often taken for granted in our modern and developing society. Water sets geographical and political boundaries. It provides trade routes and transportation. Water sustains life for mankind, vegetation, and the animal kingdom. In the gospel records, Jesus identified himself as the living water that is freely available. Today we conclude part two of Pastor Holland's message, Don't Stay Thirsty. If you are able to follow along in Scripture, open with us to John's Gospel, chapter 7.
Second of all, today we need to realize the foolishness of this world with Jesus. You know, today I don't understand. I talked to a man recently, and I've witnessed to him on numerous occasions, time and time again, and every time he said, I know I need to, and I know I should, and I know I really want to, but no, not today, not today. I tell you, it breaks my heart when I see this transpire. But I find people in this world today that how they treat Jesus and how they look at him is totally different from the way we who are children of God treat him, because we must understand who he is. Now, the seventh chapter of the book of John contains a dialogue and a discussion from various people in the chapter of this fourth gospel. Meaning, most of the time, the people said, frankly, mostly what they said was foolish. John wants us to see the irony of what Jesus is offering and really what they are saying about him. It is true today that for the most part, people don't know who Jesus is. In fact, if people really understood the power of Jesus and his word, there would be a lot more people saved. But unfortunately, there's going to be more people spend eternity in hell today because they do not recognize the power of his word. And then the foolishness in this world, they don't recognize his value. Somebody said to me, oh, you know, I got plenty of time. I'm going to drink one day. Well, I hope it's not too late. But the fact is, the day may never come. It's so important that you know that you're saved. John records for us in chapter 7 a number of responses from people about Jesus and his offer of this living water. They literally begin to talk about it because they see it and they say, my, this is ridiculous. What's he saying? What is he really referring to? First of all, we see the reluctance that debates it. There became a debate among the people, and look at verse 43. The Bible said there was a division among the people because of him. As it had been the case all throughout his ministry, the people were divided in their opinions of Jesus. Some said he's a prophet, and they even said that he was like the prophet Moses and predicted he would come. Still others said this is the Christ. This is the long-awaited Messiah. This is he. But still others were angry enough to lay violent hands on him. They argued among themselves about who he really was. And I tell you today, there's a lot of people still argue today about who he is. Oh, I tell you today, they cry out, the Muslims say, Allah Akbar, they say God is good. But can I remind you today, the same God they're talking about is not the God that we're talking about today. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. I tell you today, many people worship Buddha. We've talked to people of many different religions and many people that have various things. But I believe today that what we need to understand, that even though people are trying to debate who Jesus is, I'll tell you plainly this morning, if you believe the Word of God, who he is, Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins to provide salvation. And if any man will come and drink of the water that he shall give, will live and live forever. The world's still full of opinions regarding Jesus. But simply, what does it boil down to? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's all a matter of believing. We talked about last week on Sunday night, we was in Romans, about Abraham. He was saved by believing in God. We find David was saved by his belief in God. And so there's a reluctance. People today still debating him. I talk to people sometime and they'll say, well, preacher, I'd like to talk to you sometime because I just like to tell you I don't believe all that to be true. Friend, most of those people it's useless to talk to because they've already made up their mind they're not going to believe it. But you can debate it all day long, but one day Jesus will come again. One day we that are saved will be with Him, and those that rejected Him are going to be separated from Him forever. Second of all, I want you to see the ignorance that doubts Him. The ignorance that doubts Him. Look at verse 41. Others said, "This is Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" Look at verse 42. "Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh from the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" The people were right about the Scripture, but they were wrong about Jesus. They knew what the Bible said, but they didn't know Him enough to realize that He was of the seed of David and that He had been born in Bethlehem. There's still people today in this world that think they know about Jesus, but they really don't know Him at all. It's in their ignorance they doubt whether He really is who He is according to the Word of God. I have no problems believing this book. I believe it's inspired by God. I believe it is given without error. I believe it is given in perfection in order that we might understand it and believe it and know it. But at this feast, even as it is the world today, Jesus hadn't come back yet, and He still stands and says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink." And friend, today if you'll come to Him, He'll quench your thirst forever. But then there were some other people. There was not only the reluctance to, and many that wanted to debate it, and there was many that did not that they wanted to doubt it. But then there were some that was filled with arrogance, and they despised Him. At the close of the chapter, John gives an inside look of the discussions of the power brokers in that day and the religious leaders in Jerusalem. When the guards came in verse number 46 and said, "Never a man spoke like this man." When they said this man, there's nobody ever spoke like he did. The authorities were livid. They were angry. They were mad. You know, it's a matter of the religious crowd really did not want to hear the truth. They only wanted to hear what they believed. Look what they said in verse 47. "Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived?" In other words, notice the sarcasm in the words they said. Has He fooled you too? Have you started believing in Him? Has He convinced you with His talking that He's really who He is? But look at verse 49. "But the people that knoweth not the law are cursed." The religious leaders literally look down on the common people as being ignorant and ungodly. And friend, today there's a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you, when He said, "If any man thirst," He was talking about the down and outers. He was talking about whosoever will. John said that Nicodemus, who came to Jesus in chapter 3, if you remember, he said he came speaking of the law, but does our law judge a man without a fair trial? No. Even this valid point was met. Or the Galileans too, or the Scripture is better. No prophet comes from Galilee, they would say, but truthfully, they were wrong about the law. They were wrong about the Scriptures. They were wrong about Jesus. But they were, in their arrogance, they thought they were the only ones that was right, and everybody else was wrong. Have you ever met somebody like that? I don't answer that. Everybody has. We know somebody that they know everything and you don't know anything. That was the religious crowd of that day. They are enlightened and educated ones. Man, they've studied in the temple. They've sat under the religious leaders. But the greatest indictment in all the world that came, the Bible said in Proverbs 1:22, listen to me. He said, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." I'm going to tell you something today. I don't want to ever get so smart that I question the authenticity and the authority of God's holy word. And friend, you get to the point where you think you know it all, but you'll become as a fool when you deny the truth that is set before you. The Son of God offered a thirsty world the water of life, and they responded as if He was peddling poison out of some cesspool. They rejected it. They would not receive it. They would not even give Him the time of day. But if we're going to stay thirsty, we must come and drink. In fact, I think of the scripture today, the Bible said those who are saved ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And our thirst to be filled for the rest of our lives when we come and drink. We must not debate it. We must not doubt it. We must not despise it. But we must just drink of the water that He gives. Recognize the force of the Word of Jesus. Realize the foolishness of the world toward Jesus. And then lastly, receive the fulfillment of this work of Jesus. As I was preparing the message, there was a scripture that I kind of overlooked, and it seemingly was a parenthetical statement inserted by John. But I believe it was really the key to what Jesus was saying. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now look at verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Here's the key to drinking deep from Jesus and receiving the water that He promised. Think carefully about it with me. To receive the water work Jesus was talking about, first of all, you must believe fully in the glory of our Savior. When Jesus made His great declaration that day at the feast, He was looking to the future. Remember, He came to Jerusalem knowing that He would be hated. He knew they were trying to kill Him, and He knew that they would eventually kill Him. Yet He also knew the trial of the crucifixion would lead to His triumph and His glory. And that is what John is getting at when he says Jesus was not yet glorified. In fact, He was glorified when He would go to the cross and die and be buried and rose again. Leon Morris said, "Once again, Jesus refers to the cross as the terms of glory, not of shame. Once again, He sees the cross and the glory is one." If you're going to drink deeply of Jesus and be satisfied, you've got to see Him not just standing at the feast offering the living water, but you've got to see Him hanging on the cross, offering His life on the cross in order that He might give us salvation. And as we sing the song, "Look and Live," friend, when we come to the cross and we look and we believe and we accept, we'll live forever and our thirst will be satisfied. You must believe that when He died and was buried and He rose from the dead, that His death and resurrection, it quenched the deepest thirst of any soul that would ever be thirsty. You must sing from your heart, "Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." To come to Jesus and drink is to stand at the foot of the cross, see Him dying on that cross, seeing Him fully glorified, and accepting and believing Him for who He is. To receive the work of Jesus, believing fully in the glory of the Savior, but also being filled with the gift of the Spirit. Verse 39, again, look at it. "But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive." Now, Jesus said that He would put into the life of those who would come and drink the waters of, He said in verse 38, as Scripture said, "Out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water." He was speaking of whom He would send into the hearts of His people. He was talking about the Holy Ghost.
Have you accepted living water in Jesus Christ? He has offered it freely and desires that you never thirst again. Join us again on this broadcast next week to hear another message brought by Pastor Holland entitled, "Looking for a City." Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church
or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.